Every single day I feel it.
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
What's up? What's Diamonds up, everybody? What's up? Voice Rock. Young Man is back in that one studio on the What Are You Made Of show. And I got another great guest for you today. This guy's going to fire you up. Buckle your seatbelts. Put your helmets on. Everything else you got to do for to keep yourself safe, because we're about to crush it right now. I got my man Kelly Siegel in the building. What's up, Kelly?
What's up, brother? It's so good to see you and rap with you. It's been a long time coming, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Funny thing is, so we met through DMs. I DM people like cold DMs. I'm not scared. I just go after it. If I see somebody that's making an impact, I just hammer the DMs and then set up connection calls. I met Kelly through the connection calls on one of my 15 minis. And then the funny thing is, I get a call from another friend of mine, Cody, and Cody's hanging out with Kelly. And it's crazy how small of a world it is and how people that are making an impact that are aligned just hang out in the small world that we're in, man. And it was kind of funny how you guys are hanging out, and Cody's one of my favorite people on the planet. And I have a feeling Kelly's going to become one of my favorite people on the planet as well. So I had to bring him on the show today to find out what he's made of. And yeah, Kelly, so welcome to the show, man.
You know, I think what you're saying is like attracts like, and you know, cream rises to the top, man. We just, the people that you all mentioned were just crushing it. And you know what the best part about it, Linky, is everybody's trying to give to everybody else. It is literally the servant leadership or the go-giver. That's what's great about this group of people. You're always trying to give. We just spent 15 minutes before you hit record. Hey, can I help you with this? What's about this? You know, and just, it all, and it isn't a puff in your chest out. It's literally, how the heck can I help you? And you know, David Meltzer says it. What seek to be interesting or interested before you're interesting. So just a little advice, and you are probably the second best person. Cody might be the first person I know that connects people. I thought he was so full of poo when I freaking. And he sent a text message while we're on the phone to famous people that we all know that we've become friends with. So, you know, a little shameless plug is if you want something from somebody, give them something first, and it will come back to you.
100%. And you know what the thing is that it's the resources of the people that matter, and they don't always have the resources paper wise, money wise to give to you or what have you. So it may not even come from that person. You just keep giving. And in the cycle, it happens, it comes from someone else. And you don't even realize that it's because you gave in the first place. So I love that philosophy. I live by that philosophy. And yeah, shout out to Cody. So Kelly, I always start the show with the same question. It's written on the wall behind me in case I forget. What are you made of?
Bro, caffeine and bad intentions. Truthfully, man, I am harder than life, and I hate to sit back here and act like I'm different, because I'm not. I just do this thing called whatever the heck I want when I want. But I've built this daily routine of habits that just spits out winning. If you look over my shoulder, it says consistency is what turns average into excellence. You're never going to see a hole in my freaking game. I'm not going to tell you one thing and do another. I do the damn thing every single day, and if I don't, I'm on my butt. Like, I hold myself to a higher regard than anybody. If I'm giving you advice, you bet you're behind that I've freaking taken it. So consistency and discipline is my middle name. So I'm just a results person.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like, you know, I'm the kind of guy that's got just insane work ethic, passion. You have the same. I want to ask you this question though, because I don't always know what the hell to do, right? I don't always know. Like, I have a commitment, I have a vision, I commit to it, and then I'm like, well, how the hell are we gonna do this? Like, I don't know. You know, 5 years ago, I committed to getting known globally, and for impact, not ego, and I had no idea how to do it. But all of a sudden, things started to fall in place, and I have this work ethic. You have to have work ethic, right, to make things happen. Manifestation doesn't come without work, but. You don't know what to work on until you commit to something. Like, have you always known what to do, or can you look back at your life and say, man, I didn't know how the hell I was going to do this, but I committed And then I figured it out.
I still don't know, bro. I started laughing when you said that. I have 14 different balls in the air right now for Harder Than Life and probably 30 for National Technology Management. Those are just two of my businesses. I'm always building the airplane as I'm flying it. But there's one thing I can tell you. It's progress over perfection. We are going to move forward. I figure out the what and the why and the how appears. But I don't sit back and try to make things perfect. Nothing's going to be perfect. And I have such confidence in my ability and my support structure and my friends and network ability that if I run into a brick wall, I can get myself out of that.
Yeah, yeah. And have you been in situations before where you're putting all this effort and this work, you're committed, you're not seeing the fruit? And then you start to think, man, am I doing the right things? And you start get discouraged and you start watching other people have success. And you're like, God damn, man. And then you hit it. And then you say to yourself, God, I'm so glad I didn't quit.
Bro, are you like in my freaking pocket? Are you in my house? Because that's how I feel right now. It's unbelievable. I feel like I'm in quicksand. And the harder I move and the more effort I put, the more I freaking sink. And I don't, a problem with me is I don't know how to quit. I just don't. I'm going to keep going until something freaking busts loose. I'm getting better at pivoting a little faster. When I realize I'm really meeting resistance with resistance, when you do that, it's just depleting. You're going to wear out you're going to wear yourself out and your team out.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says, you know, love the process, or what is it? Marry the process, divorce the outcome. You still, we're human. You still need to see key indicators that you're making progress. We talked about the podcast. We reached up to number 28. You know, I don't scoreboard watch, but it's nice to know that when you're grinding as much as we're doing, we're flying all over the country, we're meeting with, interviewing people. We're doing. It's nice to hear, hey, the needle's moving forward, and people are tuning in, and people helping. Now, we since aired something, and we dropped way down in things. But you got to take the good with the bad. And it's always a sign. God is sending us signs of whatever we need to learn. And right now, I think God is telling me to learn surrender and just be and stop doing. I am go, 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 beat, 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 beat. And sometimes you just got to slow down and let the world catch up to you. I suspect that I just explained you, but man, I got to tell you right now, right here, we're about to launch a coaching program at Harder Than Life because we kept fighting it and saying, no, 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 I don't want to do that. And I looked at my schedule and I'm doing it anyways for free. So what you resist persists. Take a look at what the universe keeps showing you. And it's probably the path that you need to go. And that comes with some hard lessons, man. I feel that way right now. And you know what you do? Gratitude, baby. Attitude of gratitude. You just got back from Jamaica. You look around and you go, dude, everything's Irie, man. Everything's Irie. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, there's a little delay. I apologize for the blank there, but I think you're back, right?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So the other thing is, you know, when you're watching other people, you feel like they always have it. They got it all figured out. They got it all figured out. Or how the hell are they making money? You even asked me that question. Like, what do you do to make money? You're like doing all kinds of stuff, this and that. And that's, you know, you see these things and then you try to relate it to your situation. And that's where people get stuck and get discouraged and all that. Now the success journey, right? However you define success, everybody defines it differently. But the journey to success is invisible. So really, people don't get to see the parts that you're currently going through, what you're dealing with currently, what you've dealt with in the past, the sleepless nights, the times you felt like breaking down and just the world, weight of the world's on your shoulders. And, you know, I think that this show is powerful and special because it does expose those kind of things. So I want to have you take us back as far back as you want. But I want to hear some of these stories that you went through, these times that of despair and hopelessness and self-destruction, because we've all done that. Anything that comes our way, we've created, good and bad. So give us a story. Everybody's got a story, Kelly. What's your story?
Well, first of all, let me remind you, comparison is the thief of joy. You know, you're seeing everybody else's highlight reel. So when we're watching social media, so many people are using filters and buying followers. Man, I just learned you can buy podcast downloads. I didn't know that. Rest assured, everything harder than life has been hard earned over time. We just today crossed over 200,000 followers on Instagram. I could buy those if I wanted to, but these are all legitimate, earned by putting out good, valuable content day in and day out. So my story started with, I grew up just off of 8 Mile, the 8 Mile that Eminem made famous in his movie. We grew up just like that, in a trailer park, fighting, betrayal, drinking, drugs, women, just absolute violence and obnoxiousness. And by growing up that way, my parents were both alcoholics and they were freaking out every night. And I raised myself. And, you know, you learn really quickly at a young age how to become a salesman. So I'm the best salesman in the world because to sell when I was a kid meant survival. That's how I ate. There was no food in the house. So I had to figure out a way to get food. Imagine 9 years old, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. So then I learned to read people because the couple of times that I would come in the passing of seeing my mom or dad, what I did and what I said would mean, did I get my butt kicked or did I get a beer? Literally at 9 years old, they would give me alcohol. So you learned some pretty cool life skills. And once you get the therapy to realize that is screwed up, and that the world, that to love yourself and everything that you require in this world, you get from inside. Forget all the external validation. I can provide all the self-love, all the self-discipline, everything I need, I can provide. And once you get to that point where you believe yourself and trust that, then anything is possible. So I run a successful IT company called National Technology Management. This whole freaking harder than life thing just came out during the pandemic because everybody was drinking and sitting at home getting fat. And I'm like, I do not want to drink. I have to work out. I'm addicted to it. And I went to the other level. I ripped apart NTM. I implemented a system called EOS to make us grow. I started writing Harder Than Life, the book. This tells all about it. If you want to go on Amazon and get it, it was an Amazon bestseller for 5 straight weeks. It tells all about how I am who I am today. And it's just overcoming resilience and constantly meeting resistance with resistance and doing things the hard way.
Your mic just shut off, bro, just so you know. Yeah, hold on 1 second, Kelly. Your mic shut off. The light off.
Oh, it went shit. Off. I hit it. Go. I hit the top.
So you like the last 15 seconds.
I was so excited that I freaking hit. If you're watching this on YouTube or whatever it is, I got all excited and hit the thing. So I said, I just met resistance with resistance. And I'm teaching people how to do things not the hard way. I did everything the hard way. I just impossible overcoming adversity. And it's just silly. Don't do it this way. Do it the easy way. And the easy way is... It's just doing it through mindfulness and doing it from the inside instead of going out, drinking poison, expecting the other people to die. That was just me thinking that I wasn't worthy of love, that I wasn't worthy of support, that I wasn't worthy of success. You asked earlier, what is the definition of success? I've got one that'll surprise you. My success to me is inner peace. If I am peaceful right here, I will freaking make the world a better place in all respects. I don't require much. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't require much. So I don't need to make tons and tons of money, even though we're not starving, because my whole goal is to give as much of it away as possible. I want to donate to charities. So kids, two of them, the charities that we donate to are children's charities. I just don't want kids to have to grow up the way that I did. That wasn't right, man. Nowadays, my parents would be in jail.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your relationship like with your parents? Are they still alive, first of all? And if they are, what's your relationship like now?
My father died about 25 years ago. drank himself to death. I say that with no emotion because I want people to understand that, you know, my dad didn't all of a sudden start off being an alcoholic. You know, he started doing dabbling drugs as a young man, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And at 47 years old, which is how old you are. No, he was 46. Sorry, 46. His body couldn't take it anymore. After 30 years of abusing his body, it gave out. And he was the most intelligent person in the family. He had the highest IQ, but yet things, life came to him so simple that he had to slow everything down and make it difficult and never lived a day in his life. He just, it's just terrible. So luckily I'm here and I'm alive. My mother, she's still alive, a very unhealthy lady. She lives still in Warren. I haven't talked to her in 25, maybe 30 years. I don't, I'll be at her funeral and that's about it. And it's only to make sure that she's gone. And everybody's like, oh, you know, you got to forgive. I've forgiven him and I've moved on. I've tried to have a relationship with him and she can't. So it's like that negative person in your life. Nobody says you have to be in your parents' life. Everybody says that, oh, they're your parents. No, I don't care, man. They're just not good people. And I say that, she may be listening. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I call it how it is. I've gone over there a million times and tried to make things work. And it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can relate to that. I can relate to that, man. I haven't seen my father in how many years.
I mean, just negativity is just, I go there and it's just one of the things that I'll be very vulnerable is nothing was ever good enough. Nothing. So I could say, hey, look, mom, I wrote a book. They're like, well, is it number one on a New York Times bestseller? Well, no, it was number one for 5 weeks at Amazon. It's like, wow, how about, yeah, I'm proud of you. But as I said to you, I supply it. I'm proud of me. This was the hardest thing in the world to do. I cried for days writing this. Because I write it, cry, and then you get it back, cry. I mean, just the stories that I had to go through as a child, but they made me tougher than nails, bro. Tougher than nails.
Yeah. Man, I can relate to all this stuff, man. And it's so awesome that we became the people that we are now, despite going through those things. I think there's two roads you can take, right? You can be the shithead or you can be, you know, a hero. And we've chosen that hero, which puts a lot of pressure on us as well. So, you know, I want to talk about the catalytic moment, though, when you just decided to stop the partying. Because, listen, I went through my phase, drugs, partying, you know, drinking and all that. And I can't even, like, I look back at that person and I'm like, dude, man, I went through some work with myself and I go back and visit those times. And I'm like, that's not even me. Like, I despise those people. But I also have a heart for those people that are going through that. And it seems like the cool thing when you're going through it until you get to the dark part of it, right? It always gets to the dark part. So what was the catalytic moment for you to stop partying, drugs, drinking, and all that? And I, by the way, I know the women thing doesn't necessarily always go away, but there's a healthy dose of women if you're single. But you know what I'm saying. So anyway.
Yeah, I know. Thank God I didn't meet you when I was partying and you were partying. We might be dead right now. So
yeah.
You know, when you grow up and you think that you weren't taught any love or support or safety, mine was safety. And I was always scared as a child. So that's why I'm a big dude now. My stepfather was 6'1", 265 pounds and beat the living crap out of me. And I was like, heck, there is no way I'm going to allow that to happen. So I started lifting. So the catalyst in me was very simple. I went 25 years of partying my brains out because I was, everybody loved that guy. That's how I fit in. That's, I was looking for my belonging, but I just would fit in. It's so easy to find a tribe of miserable, unhappy people. Just go to any local bar. And I'm with you. I look back here. We're just after April in Michigan. Opening day, Detroit Tigers is like a holiday. And I would look forward, it meant all day drinking. And this year I was out of town. I had to go shoot a bunch of podcasts in Utah. So I didn't go to any of the events. And I look back on social media and I'm looking at the party and I'm like, ugh, just, it turns my stomach. And I used to look forward to this. So, you know, life is about growing and learning. And you're going to have to absolutely shed that old person to become the new you. And I will continue to do that. I will divorce, kill who I am today for who I'm still looking to become. We're just scratched the surface, Mikey. I'm coming from the number one spot for Heart of the Life. We're going to write another book. We're going to do personal speak. We're going to do some more speaking. We're coming to donate $1 million to charity. So this ain't going to stop. I'm just getting warmed up. And so the pivotal moment for me was just love. I kept meeting. they say you meet who you are. I was a drunken whore, so I kept meeting drunken whores. No disrespect to any of my exes. I apologize. I hope you guys have healed because I have. I'm saying this because it was the truth. Some of these ladies I would meet, I don't even remember what I said to them. I was just drunk and obnoxious. And it was so much fun. And I just thought that was what I was going to do forever until I drank the fun out of partying. And it just got boring where the cost became way more expensive than the benefit. And truthfully, the real big thing was that the hangovers were just brutal, bro. 2 days, 3 days. And so all I did is just say, I'm going to take 90 days off. And I took 90 days off. I never had contrast, meaning, you know, I always get this. Oh, you drank so much that I don't have a problem with it. Well, here's what I say to you. Take 90 days off. And if you don't feel 1,000 times better on day 91, I'll give you all your money back that you saved. Because yeah. I went 90 days and went, whoa. On day 91, I'm like, okay, I can drink today. And I went, I'm going to go another 90 days. And on day 181, yeah. It was the 4th of July, which is my favorite holiday to day drink and party and be in the sun and be on the boat and rock it out. And I jumped on the boat, all my friends, and I'm the captain, and I hadn't drank yet, but I pull the boat out and I stop. I look around and everybody's hammered. And I said, I don't belong here. I threw the boat back in front and I said, guys, I'm out. Everyone's like, whoa, who's going to drive the boat? And I said, I don't care. I'm out. And right then was the decision. I said, I'm done drinking. And I went home. And I got a non-alcoholic beer. And I walked my dog and a cigar. And I cried on the 4th of July by myself. And said, this is the right decision, even though it hurts. And dude, that just gave me butterflies saying that. Because so what I say to people is, if you think you have a problem, or you don't think you have a problem with the alcohol or cannabis, because it's legal everywhere, just go 90 days without it and see how you feel. Just get some sort of contrast. It works for me. I don't know a single person in the world that has quit using any substance or any kind of crutch and not loved it. You know, so at the end of the day, just create space and see if you like it. Even if you're just having a couple, try it without none.
How long ago was that?
We're over 5 years now. I didn't even realize I stopped. Bad part about it, I am an idiot. I quit on New Year's Day. New Year's Day, 2019. I was in Key West, Florida, going through a breakup, drinking a freaking a bottle of whiskey a day. I had such a tolerance. I'm 220 pounds, man. I'm a big boy, so I could put down the whiskey. And I wasn't getting drunk. And I'm like, this is obnoxious. I got to take a break. And I cheers the drag queen at New Year's Eve and set my scotch down and haven't picked it up yet. That was January 1st, 2019. We're April 2024. So five years and 3 months.
Yeah, man.
No, well, I'm never saying I'm never going to drink. I figured out why I drank. I healed that. And I don't feel the need to. I vibrate at this high level all the time. You see me. We always. If I drink, it bring me down here. Why do I want to do that? I used to vibrate so low, and when I drank, it would bring me up. Now it would bring me down. So ain't happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, when you stop the party and stop the drinking, life gets boring for a period of time, and then you also lose a lot of connections and people, and then we all crave connection. So your circle gets smaller first. Okay. And then it gets boring first. And then you start, when you keep pushing through, like you did, and like I've done, I keep pushing through, eventually you start finding the people that don't do that kind of stuff. And then it's such a higher quality person. higher quality connections, more better results come from it. And then also you find other things to get into that you're passionate about, and that boredom goes away. But you got to push through that period, right? Did you have that period where you were like, dude, who am I going to hang out with? What am I going to do now?
That's the number one question. The three questions are, where do you meet people? What do you do for fun? And how do you do it when everybody's drinking? And I got an answer for all those. It's you meet people, your vibe attracts your tribe, man, everywhere. And if you see me, I go to bars, I go to restaurants, I'm on boats, I am in situations that everybody's hammered and I don't touch it.
Yeah.
Because it's a cheat code for me. I know for a fact that if I'm in a competition with somebody, let's just say I own an IT company and I run into another business owner and he drinks and I don't, I'm going to beat him all the time. And it life becomes a little bit of a competition for me. I get it. That comparison is a thief of joy. But if all things being equal, I'm going to always outwork everybody. Maybe not you, but I'm going to bring my everything. But then we start going to the intangibles. Do they work out every day? Do they have the discipline? Can they say no to the naughty water? Or are they still freaking using crutches with cannabis? And all that stuff to me is no, 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 no. I do this little thing called feel my feelings, lean into them, name them, and boom, just have more fun. I get the highest compliment, Mikey, is when I'm at a party and somebody goes, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear you're drinking. And it's a compliment for me, but I feel bad for them because I'm like, who says that just to be social, you have to drink? That's the biggest myth ever. When I drank, yes, I was social, but I was looking for the dang bar. I'm more social now than I've ever been because I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you are made of. Tell me.
Yeah.
You can't tell me when you're drinking.
Yep. And you know, the other thing too, I noticed, and this is such an important thing. So we're only as alive as we take advantage and are aware of the perceptions we have. So I'm in Jamaica last week and I'm just looking around and I'm like, this water is so beautiful. The trees, the weather, the architecture, the landscape, the people are so, and I'm paying attention to all my perceptions and I feel so much more alive. When you're drinking and partying, your perceptions are low. You're not taking all that in, the colors, the vibrant colors, the sounds, the smells, like all that stuff. And so that's been the biggest thing for me is like I feel so much more alive because of that.
Well, let me cut you off. You know what you're saying? You're literally making the better case to not drink than I even did. You're self-aware. Because when you're drinking, you're not aware and you're in denial. So you're sitting there going, you cannot be self-aware when you're medicating.
Yeah.
And then all you just said is, what's going on around me? And you're missing out, man. I got to tell you right now, man, if you everybody should take 90 days off of drinking, whether you think you have a problem or not, just take 90 days off. Take dry January and extend it through March and then say, you want to drink after that. But the studies that are coming out and that how much cancer that this causes, Huberman's freaking really putting a big, Andrew Huberman and Jordan Peterson are putting a lot out there about what alcohol does in terms of cancers. And not even, here's another reason. I make double the amount of money. Double. Because I'm self-aware. I am vulnerable. I am authentic and genuine. And I work more. Because I'm not tired. I'm not hungover. I'm not coordinating the next party. I instead focus on how I'm going to help everybody. And that equates to success, financial success, and also makes me happy with who I am as a person. I like the person in the mirror now.
Yeah. And it's actually also, you know what else? It's becoming hip not to drink. I was in LA a couple weeks ago too. And I was there for a week. I didn't have one sip. And I actually went 30 days prior to the Jamaica trip, no alcohol. And while I was in LA, like, there's a lot of people not drinking anymore. And they're actually creating now marketing mocktails, different types of mocktails and cool things that taste good, taste different than a soda or whatever. And it's just amazing how this thing is like evolving into being hip not to drink. And I'm all for it. So I love it.
It's amazing though. That I just read an article about this that the alcohol distributor companies, 90% of them come from 10% of the people. So the majority, I don't even think it's 10%. It's 15% of people drink heavily. 15% don't drink at all. It's that middle 70% that I focus on, because the people that are gone, because they're on the 15% that'll never drink, we're good. It's that middle 70%.
Yeah.
They make, out of that 70%, the top 3 to 5% buy 90% of the alcohol.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Yeah. So keep in mind though, that I hope that that's due to the awareness, but I think it's some of that has to do with them legalizing cannabis. So people are still trying to do these escapism. I'm doing a TED talk about escapisms and saying how cool it is to be vulnerable. You know, when we grew up, we're men. You don't tell your feelings. That's crazy talk. I'm going to tell you, man, I freaking love you. I love hanging out with you. I love talking to you. And when I see you, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you I'm going to make it weird, because we're not here for a long time.
Yeah.
I want to it's the relationships, and I can't form a deep bond with you high or drunk.
Yeah. By the way, it'll only be weird if you do it on the mouth. So I'm good with the hug and kiss and cheek and all that. So yeah. So, but
it'll be on the cheek. I promise you.
Yeah, how's the dating life changed too? Cause you talked about you were a drunken whore. You met drunken whore. Like, how's that dating life changed? Like, what did you notice with the quality of individuals that you're now attracting?
Well, I would tell you that was probably one of the main, this full vulnerability. This for me, my thing. And I bet you this is a lot for a lot of people that quit drinking. That was the hardest part, because you can throw a dime and hit an unhealed woman, 1,000 unhealed women. And those are the women that I attracted. And unfortunately, the most beautiful women are usually the most insecure. And so I went 2 years without dating, without anything, because I declared war on myself. And I knew that if I were to go out, I would end up, that was the hardest part about not drinking, because it's hard to find a woman who, I finally made a list of this is my non-negotiables. She had to be work on her mind and her body. She had to be loyal, honest, and know how to communicate. Those are the five things. And the working on your mind eliminated most of them. Because what I learned is I even went through this thing like, okay, I don't mind if they drink. And I really don't. But what happened was, if someone's drinking to get drunk, they have unresolved childhood trauma, and I have resolved all of mine. So we're inevitably gonna miss each other. So that's not a like attracts like. So what it was, I used the couple of times that I did date as check-ins to how my progress, my childhood trauma healing was going. Because I would look and I would say, okay, where did we align and where did we miss? Where we aligned, if I still aligned with an unhealed woman, was still work I had to do on myself. So it was lonely, bro, to be completely blunt. And that's where people get derailed. Is they get so lonely, they go out and date, and then they meet someone who has a few drinks, and they're like, "Oh, I can have one," and then they're back on the train just like that. And I just, man, I am stubborn as the day is long. It just wasn't going to happen. Yeah. I dated this one girl who was so sweet, so smart, beautiful. Shows up at my house with a bottle of wine. Knows that I don't drink. You think my dumbass would freaking know that wouldn't be freaking good for me? Oh no, I proceeded to keep going. Oh, I can change her. You can't change people that don't want to change and that definitely don't see a problem with their actions. Fast forward to now, she's trying to quit drinking, but too little too late. So that is the toughest part. That's why I interview a lot of dating and relationship people, because that's really what made me drink, because I was searching for love in all the wrong places. Every honky tonk and every bar is where I was looking for love. And turns out, if you love yourself and you emanate love and you hold your standards and boundaries, it will come to you. I was at a freaking speaking engagement in Utah and met somebody who obviously was doing the work on her mind and her body and was loyal, honest, and communicates. And now I will tell you now, when you get the right one, it's like rocket ship.
Yeah.
It's rocket fuel. And when you get a true partner, it takes you to that next level, man.
100%, man. 100%. All right, look, we could talk for hours. I got to wrap this up here, but like, final question here. I want to know what this, paint this picture for me, what this vision is from here. I don't want to skip the journey, right? But like, what's the vision? You know, you mentioned the little bits and pieces of it, helping out charity, giving money away, the coaching pro, like all that. But like, paint the picture for us what the vision looks like from here.
You know, that's one of those, you asked me the question earlier about, do you do things before you're ready? And the answer is yes. So I have an idea of what I want to do. I have an idea of the life that I want. You know, the big popular thing is, let's manifest. What do we manifest? I manifest a lot of peace, a lot of tranquility. I love boating. I love the sun. I like to, chase the sun. So I see a lot of charitable events where I can leverage my big mouth and my big body to raise money for people. I love partnering with people that like you, that I like to see succeed. So I see myself doing a lot more collaborations in the next year. I got a TED talk coming up. We're going to write another book. And then I kind of just go where the universe sees me and I stop resisting. I'm really working on that surrendering, Mike. I think I know, and I go pushing. I started this social media app that's turned into this like coaching thing. And instead of constantly beating my head against the wall, I slow it down and I just let God. If you hear me talk about God a lot, I've noticed that the more I allow God in my life, the more good things that happen. I'll run around and say I'm the chosen one, because now that I'm not a dirtbag, man, good things continually happen. And I expect them to happen. I was driving through Idaho yesterday and I'm doing 80 miles an hour. Speed limit's like 75. And the girl is on her path. She's like, "You're slow down." I'm like, "Trust me, I'm good." And we blow him by a cop. Just looks right at me. I go, "I told you I'm the chosen one." So good things happen to good people. Now, life does hit me in the mouth and say, "Hey, you got to pivot here. There's a change." And it's happening right now because, like I said to you, I don't feel like I'm making any progress, but I believe in invisible progress, and we just keep grinding. So by the end of the year, we'll have a TED talk. We'll have a coaching program. You know, these are all in the works. And then we're aiming for the top spot in the self-improvement category on Apple Podcasts for Harder Than Life. You're going to be on there. We're going to freaking have you in the hot seat. And we're going to see.
Let's go. I like that bitch up. I would like that bitch up. Trust me.
And then I'm coming to Maryland to party with you.
Let's go.
Sober style and meet the family.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, man. And I'll definitely be on your boat at some point. No doubt about it. I get on other people's boats, as I said, in the green room. So.
Beauty part about that is it's in Florida and it's always beautiful in Florida.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. All right, guys. Listen, go to harderthanlife.com. Check out Kelly Siegel's site, get his book Harder Than Life on Amazon, and obviously he's on Instagram as well, so you can go check him out there. What's your Instagram handle?
It's kelly.siegel, spelled siegel.71. Hit me up. I do answer my DMs, and I will tell you one thing: if you hit me with negativity, a whole lot of positivity is coming right back at you. So that's just the way I live my life, and it's true, man. It's true. Life is so good.
Love it. Kelly, thanks for being here, man. Hang tight while I wrap this up, brother.
Thanks, brother.
All right, listeners, listen, go subscribe, like, comment, do all the things, and then go to the Instagram, check Kelly out, and also go to my Instagram. We're putting a lot of great content out there to remind you that you are that one and that you are unstoppable to live in the life of your dreams. Until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of Show.
Music licensing reimagined.